It's time for The Citizen Lobbyist, a discussion of local, borough, and state politics featuring Terry Snyder and Mike Malefsky.
Good morning, Citizen Lobbyist.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I am doing fine. I was just perusing the Mat-Su Borough's webpage to look at things. And so now you called, and here we are. Were you at that assembly meeting on Tuesday by any chance?
I was, and you missed a good meeting. I mean, what other assembly meeting do you get to go that Portugal the Man is there to receive an award?
You know, that's why I played one of their tracks just before we began this. I found it astounding in many ways. I mean, in a positive sense, not astounding bad, but it was pretty interesting. Well, since you were there, we had someone streaming it. We recorded it. We put that recording up, so it's available on our website, so that those listeners who are thinking, "Well, we missed the meeting," they can go and hear what it was all about. But why don't you start at the beginning and talk a little bit about what happened there?
Okay, so the meeting started just on time and a pretty full audience. I don't know that the word had gotten around town all that well that who we have sort of a celebrity in the room, but there was certainly more people than normal for what was on the schedule. It should be mentioned at the top that Ted Leonard was stuck in that four-hour journey home from Anchorage the other day. That was Tuesday when there was that bad, terrible accident on the road, and the roads have been challenging at best. So he did not join the meeting until over half through. And so he had a challenging way. But the rest of them were all there in their seats. And, of course, just to remind listeners that we have two new assembly members on the assembly now. Jesse Sumner has taken over the seat of District 6. This was his first full assembly meeting. Tamara Bovee from District 7, who, of course, took Randall Kawaki's space, who elected not to run again. So they had had a previous meeting with the Planning Commission, a joint one, but this one was sort of the full Monty here. So they started out just approving the agenda and that sort of thing, and they did have a mayor proclamation. They had two, actually, Mike. They had one for a gentleman that we're probably familiar with because we heard him speak many times over the years to the assembly, but a guy by the name of Joe Perkins, who was their railroad consultant, who kind of stepped in when the borough decided that they were all in on having a railroad from the port. And he kind of carried that ball through a lot of the permitting process and the initial construction to get it where it is today, although it's, as we know, not complete. But from 2007, he worked on that project for 12 years. And there were some very kind words said by the mayor about how Mr. Perkins had mentored the staff. The mayor knew him personally. He's having some health issues. He was not there. But they wanted to make sure to get this proclamation out to him. So that was a proclamation that was given. And then the second one was the one, of course, for the recognition of Portugal the Man, and it was kind of a nice gesture. Barbara Doty, who apparently is not on the assembly anymore, but must have brought this forward before she left that seat and seems familiar with some of the members, brought this proclamation, and they were there to accept it. And who knew? I mean, I've certainly listened to their music. They're phenomenal. They've been very, very successful. They started, I think, in 2002, so they've been at it for a while, but they're quite famous now. And who knew they were so philanthropical to the community and to a lot of good causes? Barbara Doty read quite a long list of charitable things that they had been involved with, sort of giving back to their community with their success. And that was kind of enlightening to me, but really quite good. And if you are a Facebook user, Patty Sullivan with the borough took several videos with them there and the proclamation. And then, of course, there's lots of pictures and that sort of thing. And it was really kind of a festive thing. And I would dare say that's probably the first time a borough mayor has given a rock star Emmy winner or Grammy winning band a proclamation of appreciation.
Oh, good for him. Yes.
In the assembly. Yeah, good for him. He was really quite excited to do it. So that was the festivities that kicked off the mic, and then we got into the serious business. They had a report from the city, and of course that always means that Mayor Caudill is there from the city of Wasilla, who talked about their events that are coming up a lot at the Menard Center. It should be noted that Nate Wallace with the city of Palmer had his own meeting going on, a special meeting on the budget, which they'll be meeting pretty much every week now until they get that budget hammered out.
So right, that's right.
Him for a while. They did have some, Mr. Sykes had a report. I think if you remember last meeting, Mike, Mr. Sykes was calling in. He was in Vancouver along with an engineer from the borough, and they were looking at a project there in Vancouver that they use power from their waste septic plant. And he is quite keen on trying to capitalize some of that expenditure that putting in a sewage treatment plant is going to cost the borough. So he went to go see that. He gave sort of a report on that it was a public-private partnership, quite successful, and that there were some options to use it in the facility now that we're examining building. And I guess I will jump into, there was some public comment on that later during Persons to be Heard. There were quite, probably four or five septic pumpers. And if listeners haven't kept up, we take about 85% of the borough population is on some type of, septic system. And the pumpers are quite busy here in town. In the valley, but they don't have anywhere to take it. They have to take it to Anchorage, and they've been taking it to Anchorage for many, many, many years. They had a facility very shortly out in Houston, and that quickly was shut down when it was full. So they've been going through the process at the borough for, they had a Blue Ribbon Task Force, I think, for several years on it. They've gotten the okay, gotten some money from the EPA, I think, just for the design. They've bonded. They're sort of at the beginning of it, but it's taking quite a long time. And the pumpers are becoming quite concerned. They've had a meeting with the city of Anchorage, who is getting ready to close their Turpin disposal area and move it into King Street. And they're letting the borough know about 15 months from now that Turpin facility will not be available to them. And that will cause, increased driving time for the pumpers here in the valley. They're concerned that the cost will be so that they will have to drop some of their routes and probably lay off some people. So they're really keen on getting the borough to quit talking about this and get it done. And the borough has not chosen a system yet. It was referred to later in the meeting. The mayor has suggested that the borough manager come back to them, give them a timeline. Of course, there's two assembly members, member Sumner, who had quite a few questions, and they want to get a report from the manager where they're at, where the timeline is, what the expectations of the public can be, where we're at right now. The mayor suggested that it may be a two-phase operation where we just get it up and running and then try to incorporate some type of power generation out of it. So we will look for that to happen at the next assembly meeting, which actually isn't until the end of November, but he'll have plenty of time to look at that and see what kind of proposals we have.
Okay.
To do that. So that was that part of it. The manager talked about meeting with Senator Murkowski and talking to her about the cyber attack, and that she was concerned about and inquiring what kind of federal assistance maybe that can be on the horizon should that happen again. No real conclusion, but at least they talked about it. They had a presentation from Hugh Leslie from the borough on the Willow Library report, funding report that they've been working on. They actually hired a consultant a couple of years ago, or a year ago, I guess, to meet with representatives from all the borough libraries, which I'm thinking there are five, Mike,
right,
plus the cities.
I think that's true.
And to come up with a five-year plan, a strategic five-year plan, and how they can move into the, you know, technology age, plus share resources and deal with things when the budgets aren't all that hopeful going forward. And then, of course, he talked a little bit about the this is about the Willow Library funding report, and they want to build a new library in Willow. They do have an existing one that they have to tear down, and at the same time of building the new library, they're proposing to upgrade the community center there, which, and I will say, having been to the Willow Community Center, it is a well-used community center, and they are due for an upgrade. So they've had some grants from the Manson Health Foundation. The borough budgeted almost $2 million for it. They've actually raised $55,000 of their own money within the community to do it. They're still short about $2 million. They're trying to get it built out by 2020. And they're worried about the increases in costs because, as everybody knows, with the tariffs, they're looking at maybe the projected costs for it may go up from 16 to 18%. So kind of unsure where they are at that point, but he did bring them up to date on that. Not much from the clerk nor the attorney. Good, no news from the attorney is always good news, I think.
Right.
They did have a quite a discussion having to do with an IM, or informational memorandum, that was on the Assembly Next, having to do with wetland mitigation. This is really an interesting subject, but a very complicated one. And it was pretty clear pretty early that the new Assembly member, Mr. Sumner, doesn't quite understand the whole background to it. It doesn't have the history, which, if you haven't been to a lot of Assembly meetings, that's where you're going to be on it.
Was he able to ask questions or speak about what he needed to know?
Well, his first reaction to it was that it needed more vetting, and the manager did tell him that there has been quite a few meetings with land management. And his question, he posed the question to the borough assembly that they need to decide what they want to do about this.
That was the manager posing that question.
Yeah,
okay.
And that they should have some type of direction. And this has to do with the federal government designating wetlands and getting credit for wetlands that are traded off. It is kind of complicated. But what they settled on, I believe, is that Mr. Sykes, who seems to know probably as much as anybody does on the assembly about this, proposed some type of a resolution at a upcoming meeting for them to either endorse or not, kind of get them on track and give the vision to the manager. So that's kind of where that ended up. But interesting conversation. The next one that they had quite a lot of conversation about, Mike, was moving money from one reserve to the other reserve to pay for to prepare to pay for the bills from the cyber attack. And this got really wrapped around the wheel for a while. Mr. Sumner again said that this seemed to be a capital project, and he didn't have enough detail to determine whether this was the right thing to do or not, that he had asked for some detail, had not received it. And they even had the finance manager up there talking about the fact that, you know, moving it between reserves doesn't mean they're going to spend it. It just means that it's available in case they have to, you know, pay for something, and so that bills don't lapse. And a lot of back and forth on that. The attorneys came in. The attorney came in to weigh in on it. And the bottom line is the manager said, we're going to make this work. I will get detailed information timeline, explain a little more how these funds work to the assembly members to make sure that they're comfortable with it, and they postponed it to November 27th. So kick down the road just a little bit further. A little bit more talk about an ordinance. Again, moving some money from a completed signage program that they've done, tourism signage program that they had left over when they bid it out. A lot of times they bid things out and then they are surprised when things come in a little bit cheaper than they did. And so they try to move it to a project that might need a little bit more boost. And this one was a move to the Willow and the Talkeetna outdoor ice rinks for a design and build project on that for an open roof. And so a little, again, some pushback by Mr. McKee and as well as Mr. Sumner, who, again, just the logistics of moving these things are a little complex. But it did, in the end, pass with McKee opposed to it.
And then Sumner then voted for it.
He did. I guess he must have got all his questions answered.
Good. Okay.
There's a lot more discussion on an ordinance adopting the plan that I talked to you about, the strategic plan that they have gotten bid out to get together. I think there's a little bit of a confusion as to the funding and the way the funding goes to the library and why you need a strategic plan. You know, from the public prospect, if you haven't been involved in rural business, again, we do see a lot of money expended for plans, and not always is it publicized what we do with those plans. But it was bid out a little before this assembly was seated, and the work is completed. And now they just and they did have a process of a public process to vet it, and all the community development department was asking to that they adopt it so that they have the guideline for the libraries going forward. And in the end, that did pass, but both George McKee and Assemblyman Jesse Sumner were the no votes on it. Let's see what else we had, Mike. Nothing too, after that, there was just, other than the pumpers coming up and talking a little bit about, you know, their issues taking the septic into Anchorage, there was only one thing under old business, and it's back to that. An ordinance eliminating having to do with the motor vehicle tax and the sunset provision on that with the permanent registrations. This has been tossed about back and forth and back and forth, and Mr. Sykes brought it back because of the last time the assembly took it off or took it up, Mr. Kowalki had brought it forward and took away any sunset on it, which basically means that it lives into forever.
Right.
And Mr. Sykes, I thought that was short-sighted. He brought it back and said, you know, I think we need to have some sunset on this so that we can actually see that the program's working. It takes about 2 years to recover, you know, funds to get it back implemented. And he was suggesting that they get a 2022, I think, sunset back on it and take a look at it in 4 years. That failed. And so they are back now where they started with the ordinance being there with no sunset on it.
So what does that effectively mean? There's essentially this reduces the amount of money that would be available to the borough from registration. Is that the sum of it?
Yeah, the money from registrations came in. A lot of it goes to dust control, out to the different RSAs to maintain their roads. It was sort of an extra budget boost to those road service areas. They do collect a little bit of road service monies from their areas, but this was a little extra that went into maintenance of those roads. And it's a really kind of a moving target because you never quite know how many from year to year, how many new cars are going to register for that, forever tags, and if you have a vehicle over 8 years old, you don't have to register it anymore. So that was just kind of a dip in their budget. I think it was less than what, I think some assembly members are a little uncomfortable because the borough had thought it was going to be much more of a hole in their budget than it turned out to be.
Okay.
But yet it still does leave a hole. And since it's not on the books anymore, if it is brought back, know, it just takes a couple of years before you fill those coffers back up. And
so did you, was there any discussion, I know people talk about, you know, the tax, et cetera. Was there any discussion about the specifics of the dollar amount that?
Nope.
No. So people weren't bringing that up.
But,
okay.
You know, they had it in their packet. There was an ordinance there, and there was an information memorandum, and that should have been in their packet.
Okay.
So I don't think they were not informed at this point. I just don't think. I think there's a lot of support for that now. It's just like anything else. Once you give a tax break, it's hard to claw it back, no matter how much sense it makes. You know, they could make a move to means test it, which means that the people that really can't afford licensing wouldn't have to pay for it. But there doesn't seem to be an appetite for calling back any money that this type of revenue from from residents. So it's just where it does, Mike.
Okay.
So they introduced their new agenda, which there's not very much on at this point. But again, it's 11. The next hearing is the 27th of November, so there's lots of time for that to fill up.
Right. They had originally scheduled a 20th of November meeting.
Right.
But so the next real meeting for the Borough Assembly is almost a month away, the 27th.
Right. Well, there's the election. There was some talk of having a special meeting. Two things they've been talking about, a special meeting, but that was voted down. And they also Mr. Sykes brought up, and this is something Mr. Sykes tries to bring up every year, not very successfully, is to have a work session with the manager about what their vision is and what they want, you know, what their legislative vision is and which direction that they need a strategic meeting on next year before they tackle the budget so they can come up with some consensus. And as you remember, Mike, years ago, the Assembly used to do this every year.
Right.
They would have a
right.
weekend session. It was open to the public, and they kicked around different priorities and what their priorities for funding was. It gave the managers some direction. I think when Manager Duffy was there, it was quite successful. He started that program, and it's kind of waned over the last, I don't think they've had one in 3 years now. So Mr. Sykes was really trying to get that done before they take up the budget. It sounds like they may entertain having it in January, but you know, again, this leaves it to the poor clerk to herd cats, you know, so to speak, and to try to get the Assembly members there, find a place to have it, find a facilitator. It's not an easy task for the clerk to do, but it sounded like she was kind of given direction to kind of look that way.
Okay.
And we'll see if that happens. She also has been trying unsuccessfully to get a joint meeting set up with the Anchorage Assembly, another thing that I think the mayor essentially asked about,
right.
But she hasn't been very successful with the Anchorage Assembly in coming up with a date for that. So we'll see what happens.
So then they had the opportunity to comment. How did the comments
they
go?
They did. Pretty not much. There wasn't really very much. You know, Mr. Sumner didn't have any comments. Mr. Mayfield had just a couple of them talking about Terry Nightinger, I think I'm saying that right, who has resigned from the Fish and Wildlife Commission, who is somebody who has served on that for some time. He's having some health issues, and Mr. Mayfield wanted to make sure that we thanked him for his service there. They did talk again, the mayor did bring up again the septic wastewater plant, and that he wants to see that get going. Mr. Beck had a very cute little quip there saying that it was time to get going on the Mignot's Dispose project.
Okay.
And as everybody knows, that Helen Mignot's has been really the pusher of that for a very long time. He also talked about Yay Palmer High, who had a very successful girls swim team this year, and they were going to state about that. And then George McKee brought up something, Mike, you might be interested in. You and I've talked about this, that he's wanting more staff reports. He says it doesn't have to be, it didn't even sound so much like he wanted them to do it in person, but he wants them to think about having a 1 or 2 page synopsis report on things they were going to be voting on.
Right.
And as you remember, Mike, that used to be kind of common, too, that just about everything, everybody had a staff report on everything that was in front of them. And I'm not so sure I disagree with him. I like to see it in public and have the staff there, but it does add to the length of the meeting. Someone had suggested during the course of the night that they start having 2 comment periods for public comment, like they do at the City of Palmer and at the school board. Again, a great idea, but the length of these meetings has to be considered. They have to be done by 10 p.m. I think it was interesting that he brought that up, and we'll see what kind of support he gets to have more interaction from the staff. And the last thing was the mayor just talking about being very proud of all the local talent that they had and how terrific that was. And they adjourned at 8:15, Mike.
That's good. Well, thank you. Thank you.
So 2 hours and 15 minutes, not too bad. And we'll have some time off here. There is a school board meeting next Wednesday. And then, of course, the City of Palmer will have some regular meetings interspersed with their budget meetings.
That's right. And that'll carry us through November. Well, thank you very much, Citizen Lobbyist, for going through all of that. A lot of detail, even in 2 hours.
A lot of details, yeah. Man. Thanks. Get it streamed and get up, and everybody can get catched up and get their own viewpoint if they'll go to the webpage.
Right. Okay, stay warm out there. It's still going to be cold.
Be careful out there.
Yes, slippery it is. All right.
Yep.
Take care.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Citizen Lobbyist, broadcast on Thursdays at 8 a.m. and repeated at 5 p.m. on Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. You can find the podcast at radiofreepalmer.org. The views and opinions of moderators and guests did not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.